You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this Palm Sunday. As we begin our service today, we're going to actually, our whole service, we're going to be weaving scripture and the message throughout the beginning, in the meditation, and then during the official talk time, all leading up to our own walk into the, or through the gates of Jerusalem, or under the arches of the meditation garden, which we're going to use as a synonymous symbol. A lot of what we're going to be working with today is actually the consciousness of preparation, or preparing our consciousness for that entry into Jerusalem. Where we want to be putting our attention and our focus that will help cultivate the highest capacity for willingness and allowing that Jesus the Christ demonstrated and that we demonstrate in our life in those moments where we walk through the crucifixion experience into the resurrection, into really a new life being birthed in and through and as us. So one of the ways that we're going to be focusing on this preparation is actually in the middle of Jesus' ministry, toward the end, he continually talks about, you know, picking up the cross and following him. And there's one particular instance where he's prophesizing something and he's talking with the disciples and Jesus says something and Peter pulls him aside, you know, like to help correct the master. Confession moment. I've done that when Marge was the senior minister, and I had my opinions of what she should and shouldn't be doing, and occasionally I'd tell her. Bless her heart, she did not respond as Jesus responded. She was more kind. But, you know, we have that from a certain level of consciousness or a certain stage in our consciousness. There's an aspect of us that is looking for, you know, how to make things safe, how to make things in our box. And whenever we're in that mentality or that mode, we're going to be looking at other people to correct them, to fit back in our box. And we're going to make it all about them. So whenever there's the this happening, know it's a moment to start looking within. So he's having one of these moments, and he says to Peter, basically, just cool it. And what he says is, you are focusing, or you are being mindful of the things of men. Or in the more modern day language, you're looking from your personality or from your ego, more than you are from your divine self or your spirit. And he said, for you are not mindful of the things of God. You are mindful of the things of men. And then he says to all the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, or basically, you know, to wake up, to realize the Christed consciousness that Jesus realized, and that in our teachings we look at him as the great example, not the great exception. You know, that we too have that invitation and the divine seed to really live from that awakened consciousness as a reality, not just something someone did over 2,000 years ago. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose his life. But whoever loses his life for my sake or for the sake of awakening will find it. And this is the question before us in those moments in our life where we begin to enter Jerusalem or this transformational experience, which is really what Holy Week is about. It's a time of transformation. We're going to be marking those different moments of transformation throughout this next week. And we're starting with it today. But the question really is, where are you going to place your focus? And we're going to be returning to that question because it will absolutely impact how you enter Jerusalem, your triumphal entry in any moment. What Jesus is saying is take up your cross. Now, the cross is a symbol of transformation. The piece that runs up and down symbolizes the divine current that moves through us. It's the grace component that activates us, that changes us without our effort. We receive without any need or any bartering. There's no transaction. It's just simply a gift to those moments of forgiveness, those moments of surrender, those moments of bliss in meditation. That's where we're really accessing this divine current. These moments where something comes in that feels so alive with spirit, like a word or an action that you do, or you follow your intuition. There's this kind of this movement, this infilling of the divine, this descent of the Holy Spirit. And then the other part of the cross is a horizontal movement. So it leaks out, it permeates into all aspects of your life. So when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, he's saying, pick up that transformational spirit that allows for both the infilling and the outer expression to change you. You cannot stay focused on the things of men or from your ego perspective, your personality perspective alone. If you're going to follow this path of awakening, you will have to lose that part of your life. But what you will gain is a whole new life. There is an ending, and in that ending, there is a beginning. And that is the journey we're embarking upon. Let us join together in prayer. So I invite you to take a deep breath and release it, and feel the energy of activation that's ripe in this field, that's alive in your heart, that's alive in the world. Millions are joining together today and throughout this entire week to celebrate in their own way this journey of transformation and resurrection ultimately. Being born again, renewed in a new consciousness, an awakened consciousness. And so, Holy Spirit, essence of all that is, we open to that transformational work that is happening in our life. As we let go and let God, we also consciously choose to align with the power and the presence of the living God that is active in every facet of our life. God in all. And so as we enter this Holy Week and celebrate our own triumphal entry into the dwelling place of peace, we see and know the work that is ours to live is being revealed and opened within us so that our own transformational journey continues to be guided under the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit, not by my will, but thy will. And so it is. Amen. And walk today where Jesus walked. That sense of paying attention to the story and putting ourselves in the shoes of this one who walked through the experience of birth and through the stories recorded in the Gospels, the trials and the tribulations, the joys and the sorrows, and into this final week. And so there's a certain amount of kind of empathy and projection of what it must have been like to walk through that experience. But there's also, especially in our teachings and in Unity, this as a living invitation to not only reflect on what it must have been like over 2,000 years ago, but what it is like for us in our life. This is not just someone else's story, this is our story. We all have walked through, and this is why Jesus is the great example, not the great exception, of these times of initiation, of entering into something that will utterly transform us. In that process, having our own commemoration and remembrance of what we're really here for, that moment where we get to realign or align with what do we really value? What do we hold on to when the transformation starts to occur? And then the dark night, the Calvary, the cross, where we're rendered incapacitated. The old ways don't work anymore. It's one of the most frustrating things until you realize what's happening, and then it's the most liberating because you realize, oh good, the old ways don't work anymore. What are the new ways? And it's in that shift that the end becomes a beginning again, and we start moving out of the dark night or the Good Friday experience, the crucifixion experience, into the resurrection experience. Where our work has taken us so far during this service is to focus on the consciousness and developing the consciousness for which we enter into Jerusalem in the first place, our own triumphal entry. So we looked at, in the beginning of the service, the scripture about Jesus saying, take up your cross and follow me. You are focusing on things of man or from the egoic consciousness. I invite you to focus on the things of God. Or in Unity, we would say on principle, on what is unerringly true, what is real. Focus on that. Not on your perspective alone, on your own worldview, how you see and relate to the world. Because as soon as you do that, there's a limiting of what's available and what's possible. And the transformation journey takes on a different form, and it doesn't have its highest capacity to really allow the Christed consciousness to come in. So let's return to that theme. You know, this is ending, where Jesus is just about to enter Jerusalem. He's raised Lazarus. He's come back to the house. Mary has anointed his feet with oil. And what happens next? Does anyone remember? Judas complains. Judas says, she has basically wasted a bunch of money on this oil and wasted it on you, where we could have sold the oil and used it to further our mission. Again, the disciples are telling the master what's what. From the state of consciousness where we are looking to make things within our box and our container of what we see reality should and shouldn't be, there will be that voice within that wants to correct everything, wants to correct life. And in this case, we would make that synonymous, want to correct God. God got this one wrong. So it's played out in this allegory, the story of the disciple of Judas in this case, telling Jesus, you know, she wasted money that we could have used differently. And Jesus basically says, no, she didn't. What are you focusing on? Focus on the spirit of devotion. You know, once again, Mary has chosen the better part. And he uses the phrase, you know, that the poor will be here tomorrow, because he wants to use it to feed the poor. I will not be. So there's this kind of this consciousness of every moment is precious and fleeting. And in this devotional act of great significance, she cared more to align with devotion and love and continue to anchor Jesus in that field of aligning with devotion and love than of being about the work of the ministry, which is more of the Martha characteristic, right? So there's, a returning to, a pointing back to, what is the consciousness that you are holding as you enter into the unknown? And in Jesus' case, it's a pretty good known that something is going to happen. Because as soon as Jesus raises Lazarus, that's kind of the final crime that he has committed, that is kind of pushes it over the edge, and he has to go into hiding, according to scripture, because he's just drawn too much attention to himself. And just like anything we do, you know, we'll have the people who say, great job, oh my gosh, I see you for who you are, you're amazing and wonderful. And then we'll have the people who sometimes murmur behind our back. And that's exactly what happens in this case. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and some people say, oh, he is someone special after all. And others go and report back to the Pharisees that this man is trouble. And how it's recorded in the Gospel of John is they assemble a council to talk about it. Typically, when groups are gathered together for the purpose of talking about someone, there's only one direction it will go, right? Down. Because the center of gravity, this is where Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, would talk about race consciousness. The center of gravity becomes the lowest common denominator. And fear, this is the breeding ground of fear. And fear will motivate us to do all sorts of things that are completely destructive. So in this case, they assemble the council together. And they eventually come up with, and this is, it's recorded as they say, if we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. This is so revealing, because it's not really that Jesus is performing miracles, is it? It's that he's going to draw attention to the Romans, the powers that be. And then the fear is that Rome will take away their autonomy, their authority. So it's not that what Jesus is doing, it's what it means that becomes the motivation. And it's totally based in fear. This is, again, that turning point, that choice point between, are you focusing on what is based in this world? Or are you first focusing on what is real and true? And in this case, you know, what Mary is cultivating and what Jesus is inviting us into is to focus first on love, to focus first on the divine, on God. And then the rest will begin to inform how you show up. So this is when Jesus goes into hiding, basically, and the dinner at Lazarus and Martha and Mary's house is kind of one of the final things that happened before he enters back into Jerusalem. So let's look at that. What does it mean to enter into Jerusalem? Jerusalem really is, in the Hebrew, it actually means a dwelling place of peace. Which is interesting because Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, this place of peace, and one could make the statement that it's anything but peaceful for him. The shift is not in thinking of Jerusalem as a place of peace, but as a state of consciousness of peace. In your own life, you can enter into some of the most chaotic situations, but if your home, if your alignment is peaceful, you will emanate that back out into the world. And no matter what's happening in the outer, there's an inner state of peace. And that is really part of the teaching that he is inviting into in these last stories, where he keeps continually saying, where are you placing your attention? How you enter a space will help. It won't be the only determining factor, but it certainly influences what you experience in that space. And that goes not just for the story over 2,000 years ago, but that goes for our life today. How we enter our home, how we enter our work environment, how we enter church, how we enter any kind of service or volunteering will absolutely affect the capacity to experience God and to be the light of the world. And to wake up in every moment. I love how Paul says, I die daily. And really, it's I die every moment. There's scientifically truth to that we die and we're reborn. There's scriptures and the Vedas that talk about, you know, every less than a nanosecond, you know, there's a rebirth in every moment. So the resurrection, the birth is happening in every moment. Only if we are willing to be influenced by that. So how we enter a space can help determine how open we are to being influenced and to being a center for peace, both influenced by the outer and influenced and stable in our inner. So when we look at this entry into Jerusalem, one of the things that Jesus comes back to over and over and over again is prayer is the foundation. Prayer helps us cultivate this inner state, this attitude and this consciousness of moving into whatever might lie ahead. And that's really what Holy Week offers for us. We never know what lies ahead. As soon as we enter something, it is the end of what we knew and the beginning of something new. Every time, again, entering your home, entering a relationship. And the worst thing we can do that blocks that experience of God is to know what it's going to look like. Because that's coming from this worldview, this perspective, from our ego from the past, or what we hope for the future. And the Holy Week experience, the triumphal entry, is really about saying, I don't know. And that's part of the reason that this the symbol of the donkey becomes so meaningful, because it's a symbol of humility. Of entering into the gates with deep, deep humility and saying, I'm willing and I'm ready to be open to whatever lies ahead. It is a willingness to be transformed, and we don't even know into what. What I love about in the book that I've been reading, and hopefully you have been too, from Robert Brummett, he quotes T.S. Eliot, and he says, what we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. And so in every moment, there is an end to what was and an opening, an entry into a new beginning. And it starts with humility. Humility helps keep us in that realm of alignment more with spirit than our own preferences, our own ideas of what is and isn't, of our you should or you shouldn't, or this is outside of what I want, so therefore I need to push you back into my place. And instead, you know, through prayer and through this willingness of humility, there's a loosening of that, a willingness to be influenced, a willingness to be transformed, which is what Holy Week is all about. There is a beginning in the end of what we've known. And we actually learn to befriend that. So when we enter into the gates, you know, there's a sense of real, true openness. Your state of mind, your state of heart is permeable. We're going to be walking through the gardens later, and there's a story I was reminded of. I love the symbolism of the arches that we walk under and into the meditation gardens, and you know, as our own kind of triumphal entry. And I was reflecting on some of the times that I've, you know, shown up in my triumphal entry, like here I am to save, you know, and that really is actually when Jesus enters into Jerusalem and people cut down the palm branches and they say Hosanna, it's actually, the translation is save now. So they're looking at him as not this kind of spiritual savior, but more as like, you know, you're going to save us from the oppressors of the current regime. You know, they're looking to him to be the one to fix them. Their focus is on the human. In your life, you have no control over what other people are going to focus on. They're going to project all sorts of things onto you that might not be your focus. This is where the choice and the grounding in prayer becomes even more essential. Because it's so easy. One of the things Paramahansa Yogananda talks about is that the human mind is so easily distracted and corruptible into the worst possible, you know, idea or thought or expression. It's so easy to slip into fear unless we build the new grooves that keep us grounded in another reality, in a truer reality. And then live from that so we start to see the fruits and the results of it. So the people were throwing the palm branches down and welcoming him, and you know, from the stories, it's clear that there is a alignment with what he knows to be true. But I was reflecting on in my own life, you know, those moments where I have more aligned with my ego and kind of went, here I am. And you know, my savior experience turns out more like I get, you know, I feel interiorly crucified a little bit more, right? Because, you know, when we show up in this puffed up egoic state, That means if someone doesn't give us the right accolades, if someone doesn't, you know, someone looks at us wrong, if whatever it may be, if we just get weary and tired, because, you know, saving people is a full-time job. And there's always going to be, you know, this unending, you know, pit of human need that will, you know, and when we're attuned to look for it, it's going to be just this, you know, we'll burn ourselves out. And there's a crucifixion in that, right? Something has to die. And for some people, I mean, literally, if you're a caregiver sometimes, this is a very visceral question before you. Do you care more about putting it out, giving out your energy, or more about the life force of your own being? Again, that coming back, that alignment of what is real and true. So there's other story that I was reflecting on is that Paul Timon, Reverend Paul Timon, who has been a teacher here in the past, is actually my centering prayer teacher. He would tell a story of when he went into ministerial school, seminary, in the 80s. And he had been through degrees and degrees and trainings, and he was very knowledgeable. He had a healthy sense of education and sense of self and proficiency and all of that. I'm sure in one way or another you can all relate, right? And he entered into this ministerial school where people who knew less than he did were teaching the classes. And he was getting a little frustrated. Just like the disciples who were telling Jesus, you know, what to do and what not to do, there was kind of this sense of, I know more than you. And let me explain it. So he was sharing with someone about, you know, his frustration and his challenge around his experience. And I will never forget this line, because it speaks to riding in on the donkey into Jerusalem. Because it's a state of consciousness. And the person said, there's a lot of arches at Unity. Hopefully you go at some point, Unity Village in Missouri. And especially as you prepare to pass under the arch into the meditation gardens. The person said to Paul, Paul, you're here for 2 years. Bow your head humbly and walk under the arches. Bow your head humbly and walk through the arches. And in that, there is a fundamental consciousness shift from I know it all, and therefore I am not transformable in any way, to I don't know it all, and I'm willing to experience and know more. Bow your head humbly and walk through the arches as we enter our own Jerusalem.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.